Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Ameen. I'd like to welcome everyone to another session of the Message of the Quran series, where inshallah every day we will try to go over some of the ayat that are covered in the juz for that day, the juz that will be recited inshallah in that evening in prayer, in Taraweeh prayer. This is an opportunity for us to, read. We're not going to read through the entire juz, but to take a look at some of the themes and some of the really consistent messaging of the Quran, and hopefully take away some lessons to implement into our lives, inshallah. Again, before we begin, this series is brought to you by Helping Hand. Helping Hand has been a trusted partner for Qalam for many years. They've served people in need around the globe since 2005 with a focus on international relief and development. Since its inception, they have assisted millions in need with emergency aid and have lifted thousands out of poverty with their long-term assistance programs. This Ramadan, Helping Hand is focused on continuing its fight to eradicate hunger across the world with the Share Your Plate campaign. To learn more, visit hhrd.org/qalam. Again, that's hhrd.org/qalam. So inshallah, today we're going to be looking at the 14th juz of the Quran. The 14th juz contains two surahs, Surah Al-Hijr. It begins with Surah Al-Hijr, and then it concludes with Surah Al-Nahl. So starting with Surah Al-Hijr, Surah Al-Hijr is a Makki surah that contains 99 verses. Of course, there's lots of topics within the surah, but there's two main topics in the surah. The first one is a warning to those who rejected the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, it's not just those who rejected, but if we look at it in light of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're really talking about the enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who, even after witnessing the miracles, different miracles that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought, they continue to challenge, they continue to torture and oppose the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the believers. And the second message is really in light of that trial and tribulation and that difficulty that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the believers were facing, there's also a lot of comfort and encouragement for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, in the first page, highlights a lot of these challenges that the disbelievers brought. And again, an important thing as you read through these is to remember is that a lot of times when you read some of the questions that are being posed, if you read them without the proper tone or context, sometimes it doesn't, the meaning doesn't really come through. Right. So a lot of times when we read different ayats, for example, in the surah, you'll read, why wasn't the messenger sent with a sign? Why wasn't the messenger sent with an angel to be a proof? Right. And again, it's important to remember that all of these statements that the Quran brings up, these are not genuine inquiries, but these are ways for the disbelievers to mock the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to placate the Messenger, right? Just to buy time. They're not really interested in the answers. They're not really reflecting. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala makes this clear at the end of the first page when he paints a scenario for us where Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, وَلَوْ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَابًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَظَلُّوا فِيهِ عَرُجُونَ, that even if we open for them a gateway into the sky and they began to ascend into it, like even if the sky opened up and you started climbing and like, you know, elevating into the sky, لَقَالُوا إِنَّمَا سُكِّرَتْ أَبْصَارُنَا بَلْ نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ مَسْحُورُونَ, they would still say our eyes are hallucinating. In fact, we are people bewitched, right? They would say our eyes are, our eyes are deceiving us and we've been bewitched, right? There's been magic done to us. That's why we're experiencing this. So again, this just shows you their attitude, that while they are coming with a lot of questions, they're not genuine questions. They have no interest in believing. They're just trying to mock the believers. They're trying to mock the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They're trying to, you know, really just poke fun at believers and ridicule them. Later on in the surah, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions, as in many places in the Quran, the exchange between Shaytan and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala after the creation of Adam Alayhi Salam. Now, this has probably been covered in many sessions because this does come up in many different surahs. There's a few interesting extra, or there's a different perspective in the one that is mentioned in this surah. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, again, very similarly, this incident starts with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala talking about the creation of mankind. And here Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala highlights what mankind is made of. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونَ, I am creating a human being from clay, from molded mud. Again, this idea of, you know, we've come from dirt, right? Like we are created from dirt, which is very interesting. It's just a reminder about our origins. And it's a reminder that ultimately Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is the one that created us and fashioned us into this form. And then, of course, it continues. And as Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions, فَإِذَا سَوَيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when I have formed him and breathed into him of my spirit, fall down prostrating before him. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ, so all the angels prostrated themselves altogether. إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى أَن يَكُونَ مَعَ السَّاجِدِينَ, except for Iblis, he refused to be among those who prostrated themselves. So this is where now we have an exchange after Shaytan, after Iblis is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we then see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responding to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ يَا إِبْلِيسُ مَا لَكَ أَلَّا تَكُونَ مَعَ السَّاجِدِينَ, he said, O Shaytan, O Iblis, what kept you from being amongst those who prostrated themselves? And here we learn so much from the responses of Iblis. We learn so much about what not to do after you disobey, right? How not to think. Because if you start thinking like this, if you start responding in this way to your own disobedience, to your own shortcomings, to the times where you make mistakes, if you don't own up to them, and you start going down this path, then you go down a similar path that Shaytan went down. So it's really a huge warning to us, and something we have to listen to very carefully, that, you know, as we listen to the responses of Shaytan, do we think like this sometimes? Is this how I sometimes try to justify things that I'm not supposed to be doing? So after being questioned, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks Iblis, why weren't you amongst those who prostrated? He responds, قَالَ لَمْ أَكُلْ لِأَسْجُدَ لِبَشَرٍ خَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونَ, he says, I'm not going to be one who prostrates, or it's not befitting for me to prostrate before a human being, before a being that you created from clay. And again, so many interesting subtle nuances here. Number one, which we see, you know, throughout every time this incident is mentioned, we see that Shaytan tries to justify his actions based off some value system that he's created, right? And this value system being that I'm made of fire. I am who I am. I'm not going to bow down to him. I'm not going to bow down to that. Again, very interesting, because ultimately what it's about is obedience, right? It's not about what you're doing. It's not about the logic behind it. It's not about, it's about the fact that obedience. You know, worship is about obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's really the key that's missing here. We see shaitan starts focusing on everything else. And he creates a value system. He's in other places we know, he mentions, I'm created from fire, he's created from clay. He decides fire is better than clay. He thinks he's better than Iblis because of some kind of material thing that really is not even in his control, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him with and created Adam alayhi salam out of clay. And then another very interesting thing here, which we find consistently wherever this incident is mentioned in the Quran, is a very subtle reference from Shaytan when referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, you created. And this is a very powerful thing because we see it's not just as simple as understanding a belief system, right? Shaytan is saying to Allah, you created him. He never says, Shaytan never like disbelieves in the sense of his belief is wrong, right? He still says, Allah, you're the one who creates, like you created him. He doesn't try to attribute that to anyone else. There's no shirk going on in a traditional sense. And we're going to see later on, he's going to make dua to Allah. He's going to ask for different things. He never says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the creator, right? Which is very interesting that he still believes, quote unquote, believes that Allah is a creator, but we're seeing the consequences of disobedience, right? Belief has to be followed up with action, and it has to be followed up with action that is consistent with our belief. We believe in Allah as our creator. We prove that belief through our actions and through our obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then responds to Iblis with, قَالَ فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ. He says, then get out of here, for you are an outcast. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ اللَّعْنَةَ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And upon you is a curse until the day of judgment. And then now, instead of turning back, now Iblis again responds to Allah and asks for time. And he says, قَالَ رَبِّ فَأَنْظِنِّي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يَبْعَثُونَ. He says, my Lord, reprieve me until the day they are resurrected. Give me time until the day of resurrection. قَالَ فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْظَرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you've been given time. You are of those who have been given time, you are of those reprieved. إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ. Until the day of the time appointed. Again, until this day that has a fixed time. Then he continues this, قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Then he says, my Lord, since you lured me away, since you misguided me, look at how he does not take control over his actions. He does not take responsibility for his actions. And we see this actually in a few places in the Quran, not just with this incident, but we see in other places, other sentiments that are kind of similar. We say, if Allah willed, then I would have been guided. Had Allah willed, we would not have associated partners with him, right? Kind of just removing all responsibility from themselves and ultimately not taking, assigning blame to everyone else, but not taking any responsibility. And we're seeing here Shaytan, he blames Allah for his own misguidance and his own disobedience rather than turning back to him and seeking forgiveness from Allah. And then he goes on to make a promise. He says, لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. I will glamorize for them on earth, and I will lure them all away. Very interesting. He's pretty much telling us about his game plan, where he's going to make the earth or make our worldly life our main priority. He's going to beautify it so that we become obsessed with it, so that that's the only thing that we look at, and it distracts us and it lures us away from our purpose of creation. It lures us away from thinking about the hereafter, right? And our ultimate goal and objective. And that's Shaytan's objective, right? It's to distract us. And what it's really interesting, because later on, we're also going to learn in this same juz, how to protect ourselves from that. How to, you know, if we now know that one of Shaytan's objectives, his main objective, is to really distract us from our objective, to make this world our top priority and forget about the hereafter. And then he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after saying he's going to do this, he says, إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. He says, except for your sincere servants amongst them. He acknowledges that there are going to be some that he's not going to be able to get to. There are going to be those that are sincerely devoted to Allah that are not going to fall for this trap. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ عَلَيَّ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. then Iblis says, قَالَ هَذَا صَلَاتُ عَلَيَّ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. And this, sorry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ هَذَا صَلَاتُ عَلَيَّ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. This is a right way with me. This is the path that I'm upon. إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٌ إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, after hearing this exchange, sometimes it seems like, you know, we're in a losing battle, right? It seems like Shaitan is just out to get us and that's it. And some people, you know, you might have heard people kind of just resign themselves to that, where it's like, that's it, what's the point? I can't do anything anyway, you know, Shaitan, because of Shaitan, kind of blaming Shaitan for everything, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, gives a very powerful statement here. He says, indeed, you don't have authority over my servants, right? You don't have control over my slaves, except for those who end up following you, except for the sinners who end up following you. And this is very interesting because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about the default that Shaitan actually doesn't have control over us. Shaitan can only tempt you. He can only, you know, whisper, give you ideas, but ultimately decision-making and actions are our own, right? We have to take responsibility for those. And, you know, in the previous surah, we see the example of Shaitan talking on the Day of Judgment and talking to the believer, talking to mankind and saying that, you know, I had no control over you. The only thing I could do was suggest things to you or invite you to do things, but you did them, right? So don't blame me. You should blame yourselves, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells it, فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't try to blame me for your disobedience. Blame yourselves. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمَوْعِدُهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And hell is the meeting place for them all. لَهَا سَبْعَةُ أَبْوَابٍ لِكُلِّ بَابٍ مِنْهُمْ جُزْءٌ مَقْسُومٌ. It has seven doors. For each door is an assigned class. Assigned group of people will enter through those doors. Again, this is for anyone that ends up following or falling into Shaitan's trap. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, again, whenever there's a mention of hellfire, there's also a mention of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ. He says that indeed those who are God-conscious, those who exercise that consciousness of Allah, they will be in gardens with springs. جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ وَدُخُلُوهَا بِسَلَامٍ آمِنِينَ. It will be said to them, enter it in peace and security. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍ إِخْوَانًا عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will remove all ill feelings from their hearts, and they will be like brothers and sisters on couches facing one another. Now, this is very beautiful because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, part of the perfection of Jannah and part of that, you know, safety, security, serenity, and contentment of Jannah is that in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has removed any ill feelings, any resentment that we might hold. He removes that from us. It's not something that, you know, you experience in Jannah. And it really goes to show you the importance of kind of purifying your heart, and not just purifying it, you know, but really clearing your heart of any resentment and any hatred, any grudges. And we see that part of that, you know, serenity of Jannah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes that from the hearts of mankind. And it just goes to show us that when that is present, as it is in this worldly life, the difficulties that we run into and the complications that we run into. So it's a very kind of, you know, subtle, beautiful lesson that we learn here. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَمَسُهُمْ فِيهَا نَصَبٌ وَمَا هُمْ مِنْهَا بِمُخْرَجِينَ. No fatigue will ever touch them in Jannah, nor will they ever be asked to leave it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَبِّئْ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inform my servants that I am Al-Ghafoor, the all-forgiving, Al-Rahim, the most merciful. Right? He's telling the Prophet ﷺ to tell us, or a reminder for us, don't forget this fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the oft-forgiving, the all-merciful. Very, you know, beautiful reminder that, look, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to mess up, there's going to be problems, but remember, the key is seek forgiveness. Right? The key is istighfar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you mercy. However, if you only think about that, if you think, oh, everything will be forgiven anyway, we know that that can also lead to a problematic outcome. If you start kind of abusing or, you know, thinking about Allah being all-forgiving and all-merciful in the wrong way, it could also lead to a problematic outcome. So the next ayah gives us that balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us, وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ, and that my punishment is the painful punishment. So remember that while Allah is all-forgiving and all-merciful, Allah is also severe in punishment. So there's that balance. We kind of, you know, we're motivated with every different kind of strategy, right? We're motivated with this idea of seeking love and seeking the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking Allah's forgiveness, but also we're motivated with fear. Also be aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also is the one to punish. So, you know, we live between hope and fear. Then as we continue towards the end of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last few ayat, he comforts the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he tells him, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. Such a beautiful ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are well aware, we know that your heart is strained, that you feel anxious, you're nervous, right? You're stressed by what they say. That when the disbelievers come at you, and when they challenge you, and when they disbelieve in you, and they reject you, and they say all sorts of things, we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we know, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that that weighs heavy on you. We know it's difficult for you, right? It's such a powerful sentiment because even for us, if we think about the statement that if you go through difficulties, if you see, you know, what the world is saying about Muslims or what's happening to Muslims around the world or how people are talking about Muslims, that does weigh heavily on us, right? That does carry a burden. There is a stress that comes with that. And then first thing we're learning is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of that. You know, never forget that all of these trials and tribulations that we're going through, it's not in the absence of Allah, right? It's not a sign that that we're distant from Allah. Rather, the prophets that came before us went through similar struggles. And that's a reminder for us here. And throughout the Quran, there's stories of the prophets to comfort the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and also to comfort us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actions to do to deal with this, right? Allah is well aware that what they say bothers you, that it weighs heavy on you, that it's difficult for you. So do this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. So glorify the praise of your Lord. Do tasbih, glorify Allah, praise Allah, and be among those who bow down. Make sajda to Allah, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? The key to dealing with these difficulties and these stressors is to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rekindle and reestablish and strengthen that bond and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. And he says, and worship your Lord until certainty comes to you, until you acquire certainty. And this is such a powerful statement, and it's such a powerful principle, really. A lot of times we think, you know, when I'm sure, then I'll do something, right? I'm waiting for certainty to act. But we're learning here the opposite is what you should be doing, is continue to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then, you know, the action comes first and clarity will come later. Right? If there are certain things that you're not sure about, you're not sure how you're going to find comfort through this situation, you're not sure how you're going to find a resolution to the problems you're going through, to the difficulties you're going through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is don't worry about that. Instead, worship your Lord and everything else will follow. Start doing the action. Through the action, the motivation will come. Through the action, the solutions will come. So start worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rekindling that relationship with Him. In the next surah is Surah An-Nahl. This is another Makki surah. This has 128 verses. This surah opens with a clear reminder of the coming hour. And it's a response to the disbelievers who used to come to the Prophet ﷺ and challenge him and say, you know, you keep saying that there's going to be a day of judgment. You keep saying that the punishment will come. You keep saying X, Y, Z. So where is it? Why isn't it here yet? Right, they would mock the Prophet ﷺ. And this surah starts off with a, you know, direct response to that challenge where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ata amrullahi fala tasta'jilu subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the command of Allah has come. It's already on its way, don't worry, so don't rush it. This is such an interesting statement because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's almost like Allah is saying, it's been dispatched, right? The command of Allah, it's been given. Don't try to rush it. It will come. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amri shikun, glory be to him, exalted above what they associate with him. He's high above anything that they associate with him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, in ayah number 18, there's a very powerful ayah that appears in other places in the Quran as well, but it speaks to one of the other nicknames of this surah. So again, Nahal means the bee. This is the surah that has a mention about bees, and you know, the miracle of the bee, and how, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But another name for this surah is also Surah An-Ni'am, which is the surah of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throughout this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of his favors upon us through so many different reminders. This surah is filled with those. And I encourage you all to read it and read it with that reminder in light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the creations of the heavens and the earth. He talks about animals. He talks about transportation. He talks about vegetation and fruits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produces for us. He talks about, just everything around us, so many things. He talks about the bee. And really, ayah number 18 kind of summarizes that message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if you try to count, if you try to enumerate all the blessings and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would not be able to do so. It's just not possible. If you try to take account for the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you're trying to count every blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have, you wouldn't be able to count them. Again, a beautiful example of this is sometimes to appreciate a blessing, you have to think about not having that blessing, right? Think about something as not simple, but really such a profound blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of sight, right? Imagine you couldn't see. That's one blessing of Allah. If we just say sight. But there's so many things that are dependent upon that. If all of a sudden you couldn't see tomorrow, think about how many other things are impacted by your ability to see. Imagine how many other blessings you experience because of that one blessing of sight. Because of it, there's like infinite doors of blessings that are open to you that really maybe we would only appreciate if we couldn't see all of a sudden. Then we would notice how much we rely on that blessing of Allah and really the lasting impact of that blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a reminder that really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us with so much. And the point of this reminder, why do we, you know, what is the point of remembering the favors of Allah, is really to reestablish that purpose, that purpose of our existence, that, you know, it's easy to get lost in this world. It's easy to get lost in your job, your career, everything. You know, the world is just in family and so many things. But this is a reminder that every blessing that you have, if you understand it as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're grateful for it, and it's a means of you remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then every time you do that, every time you're grateful, every time you appreciate a blessing of Allah, that's an opportunity for you to stay connected to your ultimate purpose, to stay connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's almost like a way to pull you out from getting stuck into this worldly life. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayah number 68 talks about the bee, which is what this surah is named for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ أَنِ اتَّخِذِي مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا وَمِنْ الشَّجَرِ وَمِمَّا يَحْدِشُونَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and your Lord inspired the bee to set up hives in the mountains and in the trees and in what they construct. And then he says, ثُمَّ كُلِي مِنْ كُلِّ ثَمَرَاتِ فَاسْلُكِي سُبُلَ رَبِّكِ ذُلُلًا يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بُطُونِهَا شَرَابٌ مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهُ فِيهِ شِفَاءٌ لِلنَّاسِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the bee, then eat of all the fruits and go along the pathways of your Lord with precision. And from their bellies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, emerges a fluid of diverse colors containing healing for the people. Again, a reference to honey. Surely in this is a sign for people who reflect. And again, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. There's a few very interesting things here. Number one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting this process, right? This miracle, really, but this, sometimes we just call it a process. This is just how the world works. How does a human body work? There's the circulatory system, respiratory system. We just call them systems, right? We just give them a name and we forget that ultimately all of these things, these are all things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put into place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has control over all of these things, right? They're not just systems, but these are processes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in place and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full control over, right? A lot of times we think they just work. They work like they're supposed to, it just is. But no, they work because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows them to work, right? And I think one of the most beautiful things here is really just how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens this, these few ayats talking about the bees, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the bee. So a lot of times we just see insects or we see bees flying around, they do what they do. Like, yeah, that's just how it works. That's how the world works. That's how honey is made. That's how pollination happens. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that's, you know, it's almost like moving each of these pieces, right? There's someone who put all of this into place and who keeps all of this moving, right? So every time you see these complex systems in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around you, every time you see, you know, I always hear this from anyone who studies the human body, whether that's doctors or pharmacists or any medical professionals, that if you have the right lens and the right perspective, when you see these complex systems, it only brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you have the right perspective and the right lens, right? But if you don't have the right lens, you might just stop at the superficial. You might just stop at being wowed at a system and forgetting about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being in control of this system. He's the one that put it into place and he's the one that continues moving it forward. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, again, I'm going to jump ahead just for the sake of time, but one of the ayat I mentioned to you earlier is this idea of, we talked earlier about Iblis and Shaytan's plan really to divert and to delude mankind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 98 of Surah An-Nahl, says, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you read the Qur'an, seek refuge with Allah from Shaytan, the outcast. Again, why? Why is that, you know, why is that, why do we have to, every time we open the Qur'an, why do we start with أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ? First of all, because this ayah tells us to do that, right? But what are some of the wisdoms behind it? Number one, if you look at it in the light of what we just read earlier, remember that this Quran, this is your guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you read it, only good things could happen. And you can imagine that as you approach it and as you get closer to the Quran and you get closer to the message of the Quran, as the Quran reminds you over and over about your true purpose, about how the real perspective you're supposed to have with how you look at the world around you, that you're going to become detached with this world. You're going to remember your ultimate purpose. You're not going to be deluded. So Shaytan's going to keep trying to come at you when you get closer to the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, when you recite the Quran, seek protection from Shaytan, because Shaytan's going to try to stop you. And then Allah says, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. For anyone who's worried about Shaytan, worried about, you know, the effect of Shaytan, number one, we're getting a clear formula on how to deal with that. Number one is seek protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And then Allah says, remember that Shaytan has no authority over those who believe and trust in their Lord. Right? If you have true belief and true reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Shaytan has no authority over you. Again, the stronger your relationship with Allah, the stronger your belief, the stronger your reliance, the stronger your obedience and your worship, then Shaytan does not have authority or power over you. إِنَّمَا سُلْطَانُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِهِ مُشْرِكُونَ His authority is only over those who follow him and those who associate others with him, those who associate partners with Allah. Now, just to kind of jump to the end of the surah closes on you know, some words of advice and again some counsel for the Prophet ﷺ. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wasbir wa ma sabruka illa billah, wa la tahsan alayhim, wa la taku fi dhikim mimma yamkurun. Inna Allah ma'al ladhina taqaw wal ladhina muhsinun." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "So be patient. Your patience is solely from Allah, and do not grieve over them, and do not be stressed by their schemes. Do not be stressed by their plots, their plotting, and their planning. Don't let that Don't let that stress you out. Don't let that occupy you completely. Because remember, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, Allah is with those who are righteous. Again, الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا, those who are God-conscious, those who exercise taqwa, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ, and those who excel, and those who are virtuous and do good deeds. And again here, this is a perfect conclusion and tie back to our overall objective in the month of Ramadan. One of the objectives of fasting, or the objective of fasting as mentioned in the Quran, is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, is that we fast so that we can exercise taqwa. Right, so the hope is that through these acts of worship in the month of Ramadan, through exercising this muscle of taqwa, of remembering Allah and being cautious of our actions and trying to do more good and trying to stay away from bad, that through that we become those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in this last ayah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those people. Allah is there to aid and support and be there for those who are conscious, who God conscious, who exercise taqwa, and those who are muhsinun, those who excel in good deeds. Can we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all of our actions this month? Pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our fasting, our recitation of the Quran, our extra prayer. And again, please join us tomorrow. This is a daily program where we try to go over some of the ayat that are going to be recited later that evening, or maybe they're not recited, but every day, one juz a day, inshallah. Again, this program is brought to you by HHRD, again, Helping Hand for Relief and Development. You can find out more information about what they're doing at hhrd.org/qadam. You know, there are a lot of places that you can support this month of Ramadan. We ask that you check out the work that they're doing and consider supporting them, at least in some of your donations this month, inshallah. And if you're not able to donate, then please make dua for us, make dua for, really, subhanAllah, if we see anything in this month, a lot of times we see all of these fundraising campaigns and we think like, oh, there's just so many causes. But if you look at it from a different perspective, it's beautiful to see that there's so many people doing so much good work for the sake of Allah. And even if you can't support the work, if you don't have the financial means, that's okay. Make dua for those people, right? It takes so much effort. You know, relief work is not easy work. But these are organizations and people that are dedicated to working towards that. So please support them, of course, if you can financially, and if you can, make dua for them as well. And on that note, also, please keep us in your duas. Qadam Institute, there's a lot of people that work behind the scenes to put all these programs together, to run kind of, to really put all these programs together to make sure everything works, to make sure, there's a schedule and, a lot of people that you don't see or maybe you will never see. So please make dua for them as well. And again, please join us again tomorrow, same time. We also have another program in the evenings closer to iftar time, which is a du'as from the Quran series. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.